So a predator, it's hungry. That's the first thing. You don't see a lion who's full hunting. It's laying under a tree, conserving energy, relaxing. Hopefully it doesn't have to fight, but it might. When it gets hungry, it's going to start foraging for food. All right? So it doesn't need a ritual to put it into the mood. It needs hunger. We need a ritual. We have to tell the dog what we're doing next. Human beings, how do I tell you? How do I tell you what we're going to do next? Yeah, I come and I tell you. I go, here's what we're doing. Can I do that to a dog? No. What does a coach do before the game, before the big game? Pep talk, right? Motivate them. All right? That's the ritual prior to the game. What is it doing to those players? For you guys that like science, I'll throw some of them out there for you so you know that I actually know it. All right? What is it doing to those players?
It's the adrenaline going.
It's actually dopamine. Adrenaline's probably there too, but dopamine. What does dopamine do for us? Yeah, people have called it the feel-good thing, but really it's probably better called the anticipatory hormone. How many people gamble? Good, because I'm going to say some disparaging remarks about it. So if I worked late nights my whole career. I was a vampire. When it got dark, I went to work. When it started to get light, I needed to be home. All right? But that also caused me to have to answer calls in places like some of the casinos around my county. I'd go into a casino at 4 o'clock in the morning, and Grandma is still sitting at the nickel machine at 4 o'clock in the morning. Ka-ting, ka-ting, ka-ting. Still going at it. Look at the security guard. How long has she been there? All night. Her bedtime was 8:30 the evening before. How is it that she's doing this? Dopamine. She's anticipatory. I'm going to win. I can win. I can win. Las Vegas is built on dopamine. All right? So that's what we're doing with the ritual with the dog. That's what we're doing. And the thing that's interesting about dopamine, in human beings, we're kind of weird. Because we can look for rewards that are intangible. The ultimate one being afterlife. We will gamble that there's an afterlife if we do A, B, and C. We're gambling that we're going to have an afterlife. We're gambling on something that we cannot be certain of. We can only think about. We cannot touch it. We cannot feel it. We cannot eat it. But that's how manipulated we are by dopamine. Now, people go, well, I'm a Christian. I'm sorry. Take that away from the whole conversation for the moment. All right? That's why Grandma's sitting in front of the machine putting in nickels. Except now it's a card, right? You don't put real nickels in anything. Right? And so as we observe this, the better we are at creating a dopamine rise in the dog, what does that translate to in a dog? Well, it turns out what we know that it translates to is that we get higher foraging behaviors.
This monkey has been trained that when the little light comes on, it's one of those sessions where I can now get food, and it knows that if I press this lever 10 times, after a little bit of a delay, I'll get some food. If I press the lever 10 more times, I'll get some more food. It understands the task. So what do we have here? We have first a signal, the light coming on, saying it's one of those sessions. We're starting one of those. Then the monkey does the work, and then with a delay, it gets the reward. And what everyone initially thought was dopamine would go up after the reward. That's not when it goes up. It goes up when the signal comes on. what's this? This is the monkey there sitting and saying, I know this. I know the drill. I know this. I'm on top of this. This is going to be great. I know what I do now. This is completely perfect. 100% I'm going for today. Dopamine is not about pleasure. It's about the anticipation of pleasure. It's about the pursuit of happiness rather than happiness itself. And what's most remarkable is experimentally, if you block that rise of dopamine from occurring, you don't get the work. You don't get the behavior. This is not only the anticipation, but this is what is capable of eliciting goal-directed behavior. Amazing elaboration on this, which now begins to tell us something real familiar. Okay, so in this study, elaboration, rather than this design, you press the lever the right number of times, you get reward. Do the work, you get a reward 100% of the time, that's how it works. Now instead, shift to where you get the reward only 50% of the time. You do the work, and only about half the time, you get the reward. So what happens to dopamine levels there? This is what they do. They go through the roof. Because what have you just done? You've introduced the word maybe into the equation. And maybe is addictive like nothing else out there. Because the light comes on and you're doing the, I know how this works, this is going to be great, but I screwed up last time because I didn't get the food, but this time I'm feeling good today, but I'm a total screw up, though, and I'm inadequate in junior high school, and it was terrible, and but maybe this time this is my lucky day, and just vacillating all over the place. What we see here is dopamine comes pouring out like mad. It's the uncertainty of the reward. And here's the really elegant thing they did in that study. Now, instead of a 50% reward rate, either a 25% or a 75%. These are diametrically opposite states. Worse news, better news, the only thing they have in common is you've decreased the level of unpredictability, and the rise in dopamine winds up being halfway between the 50% and the 100. And what's this about? This is the world of brilliant social engineering by humans, say, in Las Vegas, who understand how to design a place to take a curve where somebody has a gazillionth of 1% chance of getting a reward and making you think because it's the special day in this casino and you especially are so much tilted to the right that you are going to get, and humans are profoundly manipulable in this realm. And it turns out, so are other species, the exact same neurochemistry. So what winds up being unique about us? And what you see is, with humans, it's the time dimension. You get the signal, you do the work, you get the reward. And the question becomes, how much time, lag time, can there be between the work and the reward to still elicit the behavior, to still get the work coming out? And we have just entered uniquely human terrain there for the very simple reason that probably most of us recognize, which is somewhere along the way, almost all of us worked very hard in school to get good SAT scores, to get into a good college, to get GREs, to get into a good grad school, to get a good job, to get in the nursing home of our choice there, sort of thing. And what we see is this astonishing ability of humans to keep those dopamine levels up for decades and decades waiting for the reward. And in the most bizarre, unique realm of this in humans, sometimes we could maintain it with a belief system where the reward doesn't come in our lifetime. The reward comes after our death. The reward comes in our afterlife. The reward comes unto the next generations. And there's no monkey out there who's willing to lever press all the time because of what St. Peter's going to think somewhere down the line. So that is unique about us.